We stopped off in our last study last week in chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to pick it up again in verse 14 and go toward the end of the chapter, see how far we get. And it's several verses. This chapter was fairly long, but we were dealing with in the structure of man in himself, and of course we were dealing from 6:10 up through 7:13 and 14. We were dealing with man and God, and then the good. Talking about the good and what it was, and of course, as far as the question goes, and then the good with the answer as to what it is. And then it ended with God and man. And so we went down through 13, but we didn't get to do verse 14, so we'll pick it up there. And start again this afternoon with
Ecclesiastes 7:14.
With that thing, and then we will get down to the part of it that deals with overmuch in many ways, talking about things which are overmuch, and it carries it on right down to the end of the chapter. And verse 14 says this. You look at 7:14 Ecclesiastes, and let's go ahead and make the statement as to the date. The date is D-Day. This is 6/6/18. And this is study 10 in Ecclesiastes, and we went up through 13 verses, chapter 7. We'll start with 14. And it says in 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. So we're looking at this as kind of a summation of what we had been talking about last week. And
that's kind of a good days and bad days statement if ever I've seen one.
Yeah. But it says, in the days of prosperity, or in the days of plenty, be joyful, rejoice in that. So that's what Solomon is telling us. Here in his wisdom, in the day of prosperity or plenty, be joyful or rejoice in that. But in the day of adversity, consider or understand that God, in this sense, it is Elohim, also has set the one over against the other. So we got to realize and understand that they will be days of joyfulness and they will be days of adversity, that God hath put one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. So it says, Elohim also has set or placed the one, and the one there is he or him, that Strong's 2088, and it's the word Zeh, Z-E-H, Zeh, the one over against the other one, to the end that man or that the ish should find or discover nothing after him. So when you're looking at life, and when you're looking at the times that you have, good times and bad times, but you got to remember that God has appointed us a day, and that once those days are gone, we will not be able to find or discover anything or any of the other things that come after one is gone. And he makes mention of this quite a good bit in the next part of these verses of scripture. And it's called personal proving. And the structure that was set up here in 7, verse 15 through 29, it is personal proving, and it gives you the overmuch situations of things and the reason for it. The overmuch righteousness, the overmuch wickedness, the overmuch might, the overmuch heed, the overmuch wisdom, and the overmuch search, and the reasons for all these things. So there's quite a large little situation here that is taken up by Solomon, and we'll just go ahead and dive right into it. And he says this in 15, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. So Solomon has looked into a lot of these things during his course of being here on the earth, and with his wisdom that God has given to him, he realizes that and he maybe sees things that others have just let pass by. But he says, all things have I, Solomon, seen or looked upon in the days of my vanity. And he realizes that the vanity there is the word habal. And it deals with that which is soon to vanish. Because, you know, if you're looking at man and you're looking at man's life, God started out with it being quite a long time, and he kept cutting it down and cutting it down and cutting it down till, you know, we're really here for a very short period of time, concerning man. And so he says, he sees this and he takes this into account here. All things, he says, I, Solomon, have seen in the days of my vanity. But he says, there is a just man, a righteous man that perishes or dies. And he dies in his righteousness. And he goes on to give the contrast here. And then he says, and there is a wicked or evil man that prolongeth his life in this world in his wickedness. And so that kind of a statement would gender and does gender some thought, but we realize that God gives people the same ability to make choices, and choices are made by the man, and in these circumstances. And it doesn't say what the righteous man perished of. But the only thing that he could see in the wicked man, that he in some way prolonged his life. To what extent is still a question again. But it doesn't seem the only question that we could muster out of this, or that I could, was the fact that that's just life, that some people live longer than other people do.
You know, you get that question a lot from
why?
People, why do bad things happen to good people?
Why
would God let this person die? I mean, I didn't realize how many of these subjects that Solomon really takes on.
Yeah, we're here.
In this book, yeah.
Yeah. And so he gives the reason for it in verse 16 to some extent. And it says this in 16, "Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself?" So if you try to be righteous over much, I think we kind of consider or really see that to be, in a sense, self-righteous concerning the merit of good works. And I had a stepdad that he spent most of his early years drinking. And he drank every day, and he used alcohol. And he overdid it. But whenever they lost one of their children, he and my mother, whenever they lost one of their children, then he started going to church, and he got so involved in the church, he got as involved in his church as he in his so-called Christian life as he did with his drinking. And it went beyond to his family. It went over and beyond what it should have been in that sense. So there is an overmuch way of doing these things. He says, "And neither make thyself overwise or go beyond what is necessary." And certainly we can take the good to the extremes as bad as we can take the bad to the extreme. And so the question is here, and it winds up with a question in verse 16. "Why shouldest thou destroy thyself, or to make oneself forsaken or to become lonely?" Because quite often people don't like to have, don't like to be in the company of somebody that's that way. And I've certainly seen that in my life too. So, but Solomon has too. So he made a good point out of that.
Yes.
And so these overmuch things are quite common among mankind. And it says, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish, or why should thou die before thy time? So he's saying, I think any kind of wickedness is probably overmuch wicked. So my answer to that would really and be not wicked at all, if possible. And I know that we live in a sinful state, and it's very easy to listen to the old man in our age. That, you know, going back to what Solomon had, was really profound also. And he says, neither be thou foolish or stupid. So there is a situation of just being foolish, but then if you carry it on to an overmuch situation, then it becomes stupidity. And he says, why should one die before that time? Why would you do things to violate nature's laws and surely end oneself in premature death? Well,
I wonder if
we do it on many occasions. We overeat. Mm-hmm. We
override motorcycles.
Yeah, we do these things in a self satisfying way, and we don't really pay attention sometimes to the things that will take us out of here. And
well, the dangers of it and the not doing what we should be doing.
Right. It's out there. And it was out there that day, yeah.
That statement at the end, why shouldest thou die? I know maybe you ain't got there yet. I didn't know what you was going on. I have never noticed that in the scripture. It's like Solomon says, you have a time, but if I'm reading that right, he's also saying it's possible that if you're foolish, that you can die before that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can speak of your own hand, not right. of God's hand, right. but of your own hand.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's always been that way.
Well, it'd be, you know, being stupid would be as if I walked out of this building, went out there and stood in the middle of Highway 11 for a couple of minutes, the way cars fly out now through here, I'm probably going to get 18-wheelered in, you know, just a few
minutes.
Well,
yeah, that would be stupid. That wouldn't be foolish.
Yeah. Or maybe both.
Yeah.
Mike could put both.
Well,
the idea
of it would be foolish. But to carry it out would be stupid.
But that's one of the most definitive statements I've ever seen about that, because what Solomon is saying is that you can die. Why would you want to die before your time?
Right.
He's implying two things. Number one, that you have a time. Number two, that it is possible for you to take yourself out before that time.
Right.
So I never... Right. That's very eye-opening for me.
And,
I had never seen that before.
And man needs to use his mind to keep from doing, to keep from the foolish things becoming stupid things to where you would do that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Verse, I will stay off of Highway 11.
Verse 18. Okay, it says, it is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this, withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth from them all. And 18 there is talking about might. And the reason for 17 is that it is good that thou you should take hold of this or think about it. Yea, or yes, also from this withdraw not thine hand. Because for he that feareth God, Elohim, shall come forth of them all, or will make his way with both. So, you know, to use good sense, I think is the point here, that we should take hold of this, these things that make sense, not things that are foolish or not things that are stupid. And remember that it's in your hand. You are your own individual in that sense, and not to, you know, we think about helping others all the time, but we never really seem to think too much about helping ourselves. But it says, he that feareth God shall come forth of them all and will help or make his way with both. And he says, take hold of this. Also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all.
You know, which says, keep grabbing for not being foolish.
Right.
Keep striving to grab that.
To take care of the things of God's will.
Exactly.
Rather than the foolish things of this world. In that sense, I think. Because we're talking here about overmuch and the reasons for these overmuch things. He says in 19 that wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. He is talking about the might here, or giving power to. Wisdom strengtheneth or gives power to the wise man. More than 10 mighty men, which are in the city, which gives me the understanding that, generally speaking, people that grow up in the city, and I think he saw this as well as we can see this, that a lot of times the kids that are raised in town can grow up with strong bodies, but have the foolishness or the stupidity that they can't carry with them to do the normal things that man should do in his lifetime. Sometimes we get kind of pulled into a group or a cocoon type thing and to share with people that we draw off of each other, and all of us together might not be as wise as just one person that's out here by himself. Because we have a tendency to follow the crowd. And I think this still goes on. And I think this is, when you read this and you stop and think about it a little bit and give it some thought, that you begin to see and realize that times ain't changed much. That, you know, these sort of things were there when Solomon is. And, you know, we can look at them and see it's just like kids being raised up in a town and joining one of these clubs, one of these
gangs.
And the whole gang don't have the wisdom that one wise man has, because they're not holding on to the things that mean something. They're holding on to their vainness and those type things. And I can see this in these verses of scripture. I hope we all can. And so he's talking about the might there. And then there's a reason in verse 20. And the reason in verse 20 says this, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We are all sinners. And by the way that we reach out our hands, by the way that we do our business, by the way that we live our life, by our walk. And I think even the walk back then, it's, you know, we look at people that are righteous, just or righteous, and say, well, you know, they're good guys, but they still sin. And so it's, so he says there's not one out there that does not sin or does not miss the mark that God has set forth in their life. In verse 20. In verse 21 says this, and also take no heed to all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. Well, you know, you got to read this one along with in the context of the fact of the people that they had helping them back then, and this is over much heed. He says, also, or and, take no heed. That is 38:20, and that's low B, or it means to take no heed or to take these things to heart, all the words that are spoken. And we realize and we understand that this is from the mouth of mankind. And man's mouth can be very, very, very critical, or it can be very, very flattering. It can be many things. So the fact is, all the words that are spoken can range the whole gamut of everything here.
I think he's saying sometimes you might hear something you don't want to hear about you, yeah.
And it says, lest or perhaps thou hear thy servant curse or revile thee or revile you. He says, be careful, because some of these words you might not want to hear. Because I think this could even fall back in this day and age to people that we employ or that we use in our daily lives to do things for us. That you might get one that will not have a good impression of you, whether you need to hear it or not. But because, you know, people have differing opinions upon things that are going on in their life, and that's just a situation that happens. And it says in verse 22, for oft times also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others or reviled others. So my grandmother always said, if you're pointing the finger at somebody, you got three or four of them that's pointing back at you.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the way I see this here too. So for oft times or on many occurrences also, thine own heart knoweth or remembers that thou or you thyself likewise in the very same sense have cursed or reviled others that you had association with. Because it's hard to go through day after day, you know, a lot of times with the same people you work with or being around or all this, that it don't come a time that, you know, you feel like they're in some way or another against you. And that's over much. That's still, you know, an over much thing. 22 is the reason for that. And then 23 says this, all this I have proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. So Solomon says this, you know, and that this is over much wisdom. This is verses 23 through 25. He says, all this have I, Solomon, proved by wisdom, tried and concluded. I, Solomon, said I would be wise in my own heart. You know, wisdom is a God-given gift, but quite often, you know, it becomes our ego rather than our true feeling.
The wrong reasons.
Yeah. And Solomon says, be it, but it was far from me or far away from me, what he has just said here. And that's over much wisdom. So Solomon says, you know, I've looked and seen all this stuff and I've tried it and I've come to conclusion. And I said, I'll be wise in my own heart, but at times it was far away from him. And I think back to the Song of Solomon that we did with a young lady. And he was trying to get that young girl to come to be his queen. And he thought by his wisdom and his being the king and all this stuff would have a great influence on the young girl, and it didn't do it. It was far from him. The more he said, the further she got away from him. The more she removed herself from him. Okay, so we look at verse 24. And it says, that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who could find it out? So that which is far off or far away and exceedingly deep or deep, deep. The question was, who can find it out? Who has the ability to find it out? Man alone cannot understand these things without being given this gift by God to him. And surely Solomon had that gift of wisdom. And without it, he maybe would not have recognized all these things that he was putting forth here and caused to be written down in that sense. And then in 25, Solomon says, I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. So he says, you know.
And according to the scripture, he did exactly
He said, he's saying this, and he's a smart guy, but he said, look, I ran the gamut on all this. You know, I have wealth. I have prestige. I am the king. But still, I don't get everything I want. And the Song of Solomon certainly shows that he did not get everything that he wanted. He said, I, Solomon, applied or gave instructions to mine heart or to my being to know or obtain knowledge, and to search and look for, and to seek and to hunt out wisdom. Does that make sense? Sure it does. And the reason.
The reason things are what they are.
And the reason for what use of things. And we can put madness with that. And the reason of things, or the madness of things, and to know the wickedness or lawlessness of folly. And folly is 36:89, and that's the word kexel. And it means fatness or silliness. Even the folly of foolishness and madness. And that madness, again, is the reason for what uses are these things. You know, sometimes we look at them and say, well, what's that good for? But if God put it here, there's use for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure we need to question it all that much. We need to search to find out, you know, what it's good for. We've come to realize and understand that we were made up of groups of atoms. God made man even out of the dust of the earth, the atoma, the dust. And I guess Satan looked at it and looked at us and said, oh, what good is these beings to you? If you would think about it. But God had a plan and purpose for all this. And so, what God knew, what he was wanting to do with it, probably Satan did not know, but then Satan, as smart as he was, kind of figured it out. And then he started in on this one that was made from the dust, and then this other being that was taken from him and could produce life. And that was something that was held for God before. But when God took woman from man to make a helpmate for him, then there was one that could produce life too. So you can't just look at something and say, well, I don't really know, but I'll kind of look into it. But that's the way we found out about everything that we know, other than what God has given to us to understand. You know, it's like the oil that comes from trees, from the olive tree and all this, to make light, to give us a light at night. But yet, under this earth, was all this oil and all this stuff that, you know, could make all kinds of light that we didn't know about for these hundreds or thousands of years. We even killed the whales and all to get the blubber to do these things with too, not realizing that we were standing on the stuff that could do the same thing we didn't know about. We call it fossil fuel. Been there all those ages.
It's God made fuel.
Right. So you see that what he set in place, we don't need to question that other than for what use is it? Because if it's here, there's a use for it. And until we find out that use, we call it madness a lot of times. And we call it folly. We call it, well, you know, that was like when Noah built the ark. and it had never rained. They'd say, oh, what's that idiot doing, you know?
Or the man went out and...
But you see, when the rain started coming down, which had never rained before, then the people began to understand that the madness that that man put into that boat was going to save his life. You know, it just makes that good sense. Verse 26. And 26 says this.
This one's interesting.
Huh?
This one's interesting.
And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whoso pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Well,
wow.
I don't know that Solomon could have made it any more plain than he did because of all the women that he had.
That's why I kept cackling.
This is over much. This is really over much wisdom.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And I, Solomon, find more bitter. That's 4751 in the Strong. And it's Marah. It means hardness, anger, or discontentment. So he says, I find more bitter, more of this hardness, anger, and discontentment than death in this woman whose heart or being is to man snares and nets or traps, and her hands as bands. And the bands there is 612 in the Strong's, and it's Asor, and it means a prison band.
Yeah, like a shackle.
Or a manacle or a handcuff. He said her hands are like handcuffs. If you don't watch out, she'll handcuff you.
And then she's got you.
Okay. Whoso any man who pleases God, who pleases Elohim, shall escape from her. But the sinner shall be taken in by all these wiles that she's put out there. So he said, man, you got to watch these women. They'll be your downfall. And of course, Solomon saw that not only in himself, but in his father. And in David, his dad, which was king also. And both of them run the same route with the women. You know, they couldn't get over that. Okay, let's do one more verse. It's getting time to get off here. In 27 it says this, behold, this I have found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. So this overmuch search that he's talking about here in 27, he says, behold or see to it that this I, Solomon, have found or come to know by experience, saith the preacher, counting or numbering them one by one woman from the other woman, to find out or to understand this account. Well, let's just go ahead and read the other two verses. And the reason for the search, he says. So he says, he looked at all these women one by one. I mean, you know, admitting that no two of them.
And he kind of saw the playing out of that in Song of Solomon.
Yeah, and that no two of them was just alike. That they all had their own little way of doing things. It says the reasons for the search. And 28 says, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. So he says, now, I could find a wise man out of a thousand men. Don't get me wrong here. But he says, every one of them women are different. So, so Solomon, I'll leave it to Solomon, so I think he knows what he was talking about. He says, which yet my nephesh or I myself seeketh or sought out, but I find not. One man of Adam among a thousand have I found, one out of a thousand. And he's talking about the reason for the search was to find the wise. But he says, a woman among all of these I have not found. It was like the woman that he was picking, you know, was not, or chasing, was not really worth the chase. And I think he found that in the young lady, the Shulamite woman in the Song of Solomon. And because it was read to the children of Israel every year. And in verse 29 it says, lo, or heed this. This only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. So he kind of retracts his statement a little bit. He says, oh, I might find a wise man in a thousand. But then he goes on to say this. Heed this. This only have I found, that God Elohim, he had made man Adam upright and stood him up. The Yosher, that's 3477 in the Strong. And that's straight with equity. Now, a man can be a straight shooter with equity. He can do the right thing. But mankind in general, as a whole, have sought out many devices or many inventions to overcome or to get their will done among the things. And I want to read you the note there on 28. He says, they, mankind, not merely the above classes, this verse is admittedly the inspired truth of God, so therefore are the other statements in this book. Moreover, they is emphatic concerning their inventions or their devices. So he says, heed this. Look to this, that man will do whatever it takes to get his will accomplished. He's not so unlike these women that will grab you and hold on to you. But he says they'll use the cunning things to get what they want and to do what they want. Yeah. See, whether they're really wise or whether they're just kind of cunning. So in that sense, this is the study that he has left us with for this day. And the 6th day of June, 2018. And we'll stop at the end of Ecclesiastes 7, and we'll pick it up at 8 and go on from there next time, Lord willing. And we'll see about man and man's wisdom. And also understand a little bit about kings and the commandments of kings, because he was a king and He knew how to give commandments, and he knew what to expect from putting forth an edict, you know, to make, because generally a king, whatever he spoke or whatever he said, in essence, become law. And so he was allowing man in this age, in that age, to govern himself to a certain extent. And so there is dangers, you know, in man ruling himself as well as they are in all these other things that we've discussed tonight. But to realize and understand that anything that we take up, either man or woman, can be overdone. It can be overmuch. It can be something that we consider might be good for us, but it might be hurtful to the other person. So that is something that we need to continually be reminded of, that with these things that we deal with and do, and the benefits that we expect, is it going to be equitable to all? It's just like, you know, making a trade. If you're going to swap something with somebody, both parties ought to be satisfied. And I think that's the way that God wanted it done. You know, when God set up judges, and then a man wanted a king, God's people wanted a king. And whenever they got kings, then things kind of went, you know, kind of got bad. And then, so, you know, these are the, some of what Solomon's saying here. I can see the pitfalls, but I don't know that I can keep myself out of them. Yeah. In those senses, because he had already committed perjury on some of this stuff, because that's just the way man is. We can be righteous in a sense, but yet still be tempted to be not in the will and in the mind of God that he wants us to be. Thank you for being with us. God bless you, and pray for me, and we'll try to do some more next time.